This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is still before the Senate Intelligence Committee answering questions primarily about Russia and former FBI Director James Comey. House Foreign Affairs Committee member Ron DeSantis of Florida will join us in just a moment. Also, conservatives have long been concerned about how public broadcasting services uses tax dollars for liberal propaganda. Well, a revealing story from CNSnews.com underscores why President Trump's budget eliminates funding for PBS. CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey is here in just a minute. And retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin weighs in on the lingering effects of the radical social policies of the Obama era on the Department of Defense. That and more coming up later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything on your way home tonight, you can find it all archived later at TonyPerkins.com. Also, I just want to remind you, for those that might be interested in our Alaska cruise, time is running out. Just got a couple days left. But if you'd like to join us, we still have a couple of cabins left. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right. Very, very busy day here in Washington with yet another congressional hearing. The Senate Intelligence Committee has right now before them Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He's been there this afternoon. Sessions has testified about questions that have been surrounding the Russian connections in the elections and what meetings he may or may not have had. Also regarding the former FBI Director James Comey. In fact, the questions have just kind of been going in circles as the Democrats basically ask the same question over and over. And how much has been accomplished? Well, to find out, let's talk with Congressman Ron DeSantis. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Florida. He serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and Government Oversight. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little, frankly, a little frustrated after watching about an hour and a half of this testimony, grilling that's been taking place. And I guess the question I want to ask you is there anything the American public knows now as a result of today's hearing that they did not know yesterday, except maybe the blinding partisan divide that exists in this city?
Well, Tony, there's really never been any there with a lot of this stuff. I mean, the stuff with Sessions and the innuendo we've seen over the many months has just been absolutely absurd. I mean, this is a guy that has served this country with distinction. He's got a strong conservative record. The idea that he's somehow going to, like, meet with the Russian ambassador in his Senate office and sell out the country is just absolutely absurd. And if there were Republicans making those types of accusations against Democrats, the media in this town would be going crazy. They'd be branding Republicans as McCarthyites and all this other stuff. So I think he's been treated very, very unfairly. I don't think we learned anything new because I don't think there's anything there, but I do appreciate that he was given an opportunity to really express some indignation about this whole process. And I thought that that came off very well and very sincere.
Yeah, I would agree. A couple of occasions where he was asked questions that clearly were slanted. There was the suggestions that he was hiding, that he was stonewalling. And, you know, and we both know Jeff Sessions, and he's a mild-mannered guy, but he spoke back with firmness.
Yeah, and he has every right to do that. I think that this whole Russia thing has been so frustrating, and especially on the heels of Comey's testimony last week. Throughout this whole time, you have a media hysteric frenzy about Russia contacts, all this other stuff, all based on anonymous sources, but all splashed on the front page of the New York Times and Washington Post to try to invite as much speculation as innuendo as possible. And yet, during that whole time, FBI Director Comey is telling the president, you're not under investigation. We're focusing on Russian activity, but you're not under investigation. And so there's never really been any evidence of any type of misconduct, and yet you've seen a massive feeding frenzy. And I would just contrast that to examples during the Obama administration where there was admitted misconduct by groups like the IRS, admitted misconduct by Hillary Clinton that classified information was compromised, and yet we did not have the same reaction from the press corps that we have for this. And so I think it's just been frustrating to be up here because, look, if there's actually people doing things wrong, like, we deal with it, but there just hasn't been any evidence of that, but yet they persist in perpetuating the narrative.
Yeah. In one particular exchange that got my attention, Senator Heinrich basically accused, well, he didn't basically, he did. He accused Attorney General Sessions of obstructing the investigation of the Senate Intelligence Committee by not answering questions that they were asking because he said that these were conversations he had with the president. What I find is amazing about the leaks of information, the testimony behind closed doors that took place in this committee, that information leaked out and was used in this hearing of the Attorney General. I mean, something is not functioning the way it should, and it appears to be more with some of these members of Congress than it is the Attorney General.
Well, I think that's right. I also think you have a concerted effort by certain elements in the bureaucracy that they're going to put out classified information. They're going to leak things. A lot of times they're leaking things that really aren't accurate, and they're providing reporters with false information, or at least providing them with information that's going to be presented in a way that misleads the public. And I think one of the interesting things about all this is with all the Democrat accusations, all the media accusations, once witnesses are testifying under oath, even Comey, but obviously other witnesses like former acting FBI Director McCabe, all these narratives end up getting shot down. I mean, you remember when Comey got fired, they said that Comey was demanding more resources for Russia. That's why he got fired. McCabe testifies. He says it's not true. Comey saying these New York Times articles about Russian intelligence contacts with Trump's campaign, not true. So I think it's really been a campaign to just throw as much dirt at people like Jeff Sessions and the president as they can. It's not been successful in terms of identifying any type of misconduct, but it has been successful in chewing up a lot of the oxygen that's up here. And I think we've spent way too much time on this, and it has detracted to a certain extent from us being able to do our core jobs, which is to get things done for the American people.
Well, but Congressman, do you not think that's by design?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely think it's by design. I think November 9th, I think the left wing in the country woke up. They could not believe that Donald Trump had been elected president, and I think they never accepted him as legitimate, and they said, we've got to resist. And I think the resistance movement was born right then, and I think absolutely the design is obstruct any type of legislative progress. And really, I think what a lot of them are trying to do is trying to protect the Barack Obama's legacy, because if you look at some of the things the president's done on his own, Congress has rolled back a lot of Obama regulations. Of course, we have the Obamacare bill in the Senate. Hopefully, they'll be able to pass a good bill. We can pass it in the House. Then we'll go on to taxes and some of these other things. He pulled out of the Paris Agreement. He put Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. We could, if we do play our cards right, even in the midst of all this, we could be all sitting down with our family Thanksgiving dinner, and Obama's legacy could have been erased in many respects. And they do not want that.
Excellent point. I mean, in rattling off the accomplishments that have been made despite this obstructionism that's been taking place since day one, you're absolutely correct. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. Congressman Ron DeSantis from Florida's 6th Congressional District with me discussing the hearing with Attorney General Jeff Sessions before the Senate Intelligence Committee. I'm going to move on in just a moment to one of the things I thought was substantive. It was in an exchange between Senator McCain and Attorney General Jeff Sessions, really about the threat about Russia. But before I move on to that, I want to go back to something you said regarding the double standard of the media and this administration versus the Obama administration. I mean, you left out of your list of offenders Eric Holder, who was the Attorney General, who was actually, by a vote of Congress, held in contempt of Congress for refusing to provide information. And so the standard there was clear. Congress actually voted to hold him in contempt for not providing documentation regarding Fast and Furious, but yet the media treated him as if there was not a problem. And you have here, based on, as you've pointed out, innuendos and leaked information from anonymous sources, they're treating the Attorney General, the current Attorney General, in a whole different way.
Oh, yeah. And they act like Trump is manipulating justice, Sessions is just a flunky, all this stuff. Remember what Eric Holder referred to himself. He referred to himself as Barack Obama's wingman. And so he was the most politicized attorney general we've had in modern times, and yet the media never treated him with really a tenth of as much animosity as they have with Jeff Sessions. And I think a lot of that is colored by the fact that they really have it out for President Trump. For Obama, they really acted as his palace guard. But it's hard to look at Eric Holder's tenure and then look at the media coverage, because he was doing things that were just objectively problematic. I mean, the Fast and Furious, there's just no way to argue around that. And yet the media, when we would try to get documents, they would tend to attack the Congress as saying that all we cared about was doing oversight. Now they can't get enough of oversight. They want constant oversight over the Trump administration. So it's just a massive double standard.
And so I just think it's important, folks, that you see that and you understand it. I'm not saying that there aren't some things that this administration might do that I don't agree with and you don't agree with. That's fine. But I'm talking about how the media treats it, and there's a clear double standard. If you don't believe it, you can look at the record. It's replete with examples of this. Now, Congressman DeSantis, I want to move on for just a moment. We just got a couple minutes left. The substantive exchange regarding the threat that Russia is to our country. I mean, there's acknowledgement now that they did interfere in the election. I mean, did it affect the outcome? I think many say no, it didn't affect the outcome, but certainly they were trying to. But from your vantage point, and you serve on many of the same committees in the House, how serious is the threat that we're facing with Russia today?
Oh, I think there's no question they're an adversary. I've always thought that. Most of my Republican colleagues have always thought that. It's interesting. We voted to provide lethal aid to Ukraine, who's really resisting Russian aggression. The Obama administration and many of the Democrats fought us on that. And so it's funny how times change. Now the Democrats act like they're very tough on Russia,
right,
simply because it allows them to score political points, or they think it does, against the president. So I think Russia, Putin has expansionist impulses. He does not like that Eastern Europe is free. He wants a foothold in the Middle East. And they're very active in the cyber realm, Tony. Some of the stuff they did with Podesta's emails and the DNC, honestly, that's not even close to some of the things that they've done in terms of significance. When you look at some of the things that come out of Russia and Eastern Europe, attacks on financial institutions, some of the other things that I think are really, really problematic. Of course, it's not limited to Russia, but they're one of the main culprits. It's very serious, but it's interesting how some cyber attacks that have been much serious since hacking Podesta's emails have gotten very scant attention by the media, even though it has a much more significant ramification potentially on our economy and American life.
Mm. Ron DeSantis, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida's 6th Congressional District. That is definitely something to keep an eye on with what's happening with Russia. And they are an adversary. I mean, we're almost back to the Cold War days in many ways in terms of the adversarial role. All right, when we come back, PBS, how are they spending your tax dollars? You might be shocked.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th. And we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. Now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345, and our website is afafoundation.net.
To Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. You know, I always thought, you know, like Big Bird and those guys on PBS kind of have a liberal slant. But you know what? Those days look good compared to what they're doing today. The use of taxpayer dollars has gone into the production of a documentary that follows one transgendered teen through the process of transitioning from female to male, entitled Real Boy. Public Broadcasting Service will broadcast the documentary on June the 19th. Now, it's not just a documentary, but it is a pro-transgender, really propaganda piece is the only way I could describe it. Here to tell us more about it is Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tony. I appreciate it.
So could this be justification for why Donald Trump has zeroed out PBS and the humanities from the budget that he has presented to Congress?
Without question. I mean, it's a great thing that President Trump has called for the elimination of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And I think this documentary that PBS is going to air on Monday night, quote-unquote, Real Boy, they call it, is an excellent example of why. You know, when I started digging into this, I didn't realize there was a documentary production company based in my hometown of San Francisco. It's called the Independent Television Service, that literally was mandated by Congress to be created. And that over the last 5 years on record, has gotten more than $86 million from the U.S. taxpayers. But it was created by Congress to create, quote-unquote, independent documentaries. And basically what it does is it plugs out left-wing propaganda using our money, in this case, as you said, pro-transgender propaganda, an unmistakable pro-transgender propaganda.
And you could say unmistakable because it came with a press kit that was put together by GLAAD, a pro-homosexual LGBTQ organization.
Yes, the Real Boy website has a press kit, which you know, I linked it to my story. People can get it on it and read. And the last three pages of it are literally excerpts from the GLAAD guidance for reporters on how to talk about transgenders and how to write stories about transgenders that is actually expressly aimed at creating public acceptance of transgender and sex change and so forth. In this documentary, by the way, tells the story of a person who's a female who goes through what PBS on its website calls gender reassignment surgery. And part of the story is how this person's mother finally comes to accept this. But this was backed by GLAAD, and also on their website they list all these interesting film festivals, a number of them essentially pro-LGBT, as they call it, film festivals, giving them awards for what they did, that absolutely would not have given them awards if they presented a much more realistic and balanced presentation of what this whole transgender issue is about.
So the film is backed by GLAAD but funded by you, essentially.
Yes, and it's triply funded by taxpayers, Tony. First of all, Corporation for Public Broadcasting funds this ITVF out in San Francisco that created the documentary. PBS, which will air it, is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They actually got $235 million from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting over the last 5 years on record. And then the National Endowment for the Arts has given almost $2 million to this ITVF out in San Francisco, specifically for this program, Independent Lens, on PBS, which is the program that will air the transgender documentary. So there's three channels of federal taxpayer funding going to create this thing, put it on TV, and put it out there.
I mean, that just on its face is just unreasonable and unconscionable that we would have. First off, I don't even care if it's a controversial topic. Why do we have the government funding documentaries? If there's an interest in them, there's enough private sector opportunities out there to do documentaries.
Exactly. I mean, for example, Citizen United does documentaries, but they don't do it with taxpayer dollars. The liberals don't like the documentaries that they make. They would like to shut them up, but they're not giving them taxpayer dollars. And you know, there's a lot of programming on PBS that I like and enjoy and that I've watched with my family, and it's good material. But I'd be willing, like most Americans, to pay to watch it. In fact, I do pay to watch it because a lot of it I view on Netflix. This is a free country. We ought to have a free market for video entertainment and video information, and American taxpayers shouldn't be forced to surrender money to the government to pay for something like this.
Something they're opposed to.
Which they're opposed to, and the question is, once again, is Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell going to make us pay for it next year, or are they going to cut it off? In the CR that they passed earlier this year to fund the government for the rest of fiscal 2017, which ends on September 30th, they actually included $445 million in there to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in fiscal 2019, because PBS gets its money 2 years in advance. The Department of Defense, which carries out the most fundamental function of the U.S. federal government, does not get funded 2 years in advance, but the Corporation for Public Broadcasting does.
Wow. Oh, incredible. Terry, you only got about a minute left. I understand you reached out to Senator Roy Blunt, who chairs the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee with jurisdiction over this funding. What kind of response did you get?
Zip. He said nothing. He was mum. Yeah, Congressman Cole, who chairs the House Appropriations Committee that oversees it, he did give me a statement. People can read it in my story. He basically is in favor of Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, although he said he did not support the broadcasting of Real Boy. But Senator Blunt, unfortunately, didn't say anything. And, you know, it's up to Senator Blunt and Tom Cole whether we're going to fund this stuff, and their Republican colleagues in the House and Senate. And quite frankly, Senator Blunt should make it his mission to see that this kind of thing is no longer funded by the taxpayers.
So should our listeners contact Senator Roy Blunt and say, hey, why are we funding this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's the guy. He's the person who has oversight in the United States Senate over this.
All right. That's what we'll do. Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, read the article. It's Terry, look, he is a fact finder. He's an investigative journalist. He's good at it. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, coming up next, our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will be here to address the lingering liberal social engineering that the Obama administration launched upon our nation's military. It's still there. What are we going to do about it? The General's here next.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, a little bit of economic news coming out, and that would be U.S. producer price index remains unchanged, with the exception of core producer prices. That means when you take out food and energy, the two things that we spend most of our money on, it is a negative 0.1%. So I guess we could assume that we can expect consumer prices to be pretty much unchanged as well. And I suspect that may be the case. Tomorrow, we get the Federal Reserve in all likelihood raising rates. As they raise rates, of course, that makes the dollar even stronger. That's going to continue to hurt gold. So gold's not feeling any of the sting from markets being down on Friday and Monday. Small business sentiment holds steady for the month of May. So it wasn't down. As a matter of fact, it was up on consensus because last month was revised to 104.5. By the way, 104.5, that is a really good number. And remember, this is a number that has fallen for three straight months. So the fact that it hasn't moved at all might be an indication that it is stabilizing and getting ready to take that turn upward. Also, the NFIB, that's the National Federation of Independent Businesses, their president indicated that most of business owners are still optimistic that tax reform and health care reform are going to get passed this year. I hope they're right.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me remind you, folks, the petition is still up there regarding Bernie Sanders and his reverse religious test, his attack on Russell Vought. We're still collecting signatures. Over 50,000 folks have signed it. If you've not yet signed it, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, sign it. If you missed yesterday's program, I'm not going to go back into today because we got other stuff to cover. But if you missed yesterday's program, just go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can watch yesterday's program. It's all archived there, and I've got the video, the audio from this exchange that took place last week. Anyway, it's outrageous, and we need to stop it, and we've got to speak up against it. So go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and sign that petition. Okay, during the 8 years of the Obama administration, there was, I'm trying to be civil in the way I describe this because I'm only less passionate than my next guest when it comes to what the past administration did to our military. The only emphasis that the President Obama put on our military was to use it as basically a mule for his radical social policy. Our military nearly decimated by his policies, cutting the funding to them, but then foisting upon them these radical social policies. Well, they're lingering. They're still there. Evidence, even as late as yesterday. Joining me now to talk about it is retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He is the Executive Vice President here of the Family Research Council and a former commander of the Army's Elite Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
I am delighted to be with you.
Well, yesterday there was an LGBT pride celebration at the Pentagon. We got various reports of that taking place. There are still affinity groups, advocates for this policy within the administration. We did see that the Secretary of Defense did not participate in the event, but there still seems to be a lot of policies that are lingering from the previous administration.
Yeah, I tell you, I had great expectations for this this Secretary of Defense and this administration as a whole in stopping this kind of stuff. I mean, this is, as you said, this is social experimentation. And it has so demoralized our military. And it's not just this. It's not just Gay Pride Day. It's women in the infantry. You know, it's a variety of things that were part of this grand experiment that was part of the Obama administration's agenda. And now I thought we were going to recover from that, but it does not appear that we are. I tell you, I want to see some courage, Tony. I want to see some courage by these service chiefs. I want to see some courage by the Secretary of Defense on these issues. They may be otherwise very courageous people, but when it comes to this issue, they have shown no ounce of courage whatsoever, and they're better people than that. I know some of them. They're better people than that. It's time to take this on and say we're not going to celebrate how people have sex.
When the Secretary of Defense was in his confirmation hearing, he was asked basically the standard by which he would gauge everything. How will you make your decisions? Mm-hmm. And if I don't, if I recall correctly, which I think I do, essentially was whatever it takes to fight and win our wars. That is the benchmark by which we will decide everything.
He talked about military readiness. His answer was military readiness. The military has one mission. That's to fight and win the nation's wars. Military readiness is fundamental to that. Our readiness, I heard the Secretary of Defense on a program yesterday say to Congress that the biggest thing that has happened to our military has been sequestration. I don't agree with him. I don't agree with him at all, and I'm saddened that he doesn't see that. That what actually has been the biggest problem in our military is this social experiment, where our soldiers, our sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen have essentially been told by the actions of the administration that your primary mission really isn't as important as a social agenda. And therefore, I'll put you into combat, I'll put you into harm's way, but what I'm really concerned about is whether we allow women to serve in the infantry, whether we celebrate how people have sex. That is insane as far as I'm concerned. Those young men and women deserve better than that from their leadership.
You have to, I mean, that prompts me to ask the question, how does Gay Pride Day, how does the, and I had a mother of an Air Force, a member of the Air Force come to me Sunday after a church service and just asking me or telling me that her son was complaining because they had to spend hours in a transgender preparation course.
Yes.
They had to go. They had to be a part of it. How does that help military readiness?
It doesn't. And that's the whole point. It doesn't in any way. In fact, it degrades readiness. And it degrades readiness because one of the things that in a military organization that you never have enough of is not beans or bullets, it's time. You never have enough time. And when you spend that time unwisely doing these kinds of things, sitting in a classroom on these kinds of subjects, you're squandering time that could better be used preparing for war.
We're out of time, but I have to ask the question, given that the fact we only have so much time, we have limited resources, even when you talk about beans and bullets, but given the threats today, how dangerous is the world out there?
Oh, Tony, this may be the most dangerous period in my lifetime, and I really mean that. The threats are, new threats are emerging every day.
So should we not be focused like a laser on that one mission to defend our nation?
Yes. That's the only mission of our military.
Well, maybe we'll see a change. All right, folks. General, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Folks, don't go away. We're coming back with your calls after this.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sites we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, I want to go back to our conversation with Terry Jeffrey, because we're in debt, trillions and trillions of dollars, financially in debt. Of course, morally, we're bankrupt as well. And here we are spending money we don't have to morally bankrupt this country even further with this propaganda that's being put out on transgenderism. And that's just one example. But as Terry was talking about, the Independent Television Service, it's a federally funded filmmaking company whose existence is mandated. Right? It's not like they apply for a grant. The federal government says they will be there and we will give them money. They received about $86 million from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting over the last five fiscal years on record. As I said, they've produced this pro-sex change documentary entitled Real Boy. Now, PBS will air it. Should Congress move now to stop this taxpayer funding of these documentaries or programs of any nature? I mean, look, I go back to what I said. I don't care if it's liberal or conservative. If it's good, I'll pay to see it. But I would rather voluntarily pay to see it than be forced to pay. And at least when a corporation has to make a profit, they watch their expenses and they put together a good program and so people want to see it. But when you have this steady stream of government money, there's waste, there's no accountability.
I've been in some of the studios of the public broadcasting where now part of it is partially it's private funded. They raise money. They have memberships and such, but they get a bunch of money, both from the Congress and even state governments give money to some of these. And there's no way for them, for the private studios and broadcasters to compete with that. I think we've gotten to a point where we don't need them anymore. I mean, if you've got cable, you've got who knows how many hundreds of channels that you have access to. It's not like it used to be where there wasn't much out there. And so the government had to, I didn't think they had to, but they thought they had to get in the business of producing television programming. Those days are gone. So what do you think? Time for the government to pull the plug on PBS and all these liberal-leaning entities? Give me a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation here at Washington Watch. And by the way, I'd encourage you to give Senator Blunt a call. Give his office a call. I'll get you, the switchboard number, 202-225-3121. And give him a call. The number to call to get in the conversation this afternoon. And I'll go back to what I was talking about with Terry. The president, in the budget that he proposed to Congress, actually eliminates the funding for PBS, completely takes it out, along with the endowment for the arts and National Endowment for the Humanities, I think it is called. Anyway, all those liberal entities that use our tax dollars to promote things that we don't agree with. And I'm fine with them being able to do it. They have every right to produce stuff that I don't like, but not with my tax dollars. And that's when you look at these, it's like Planned Parenthood. You know, Planned Parenthood receiving over a half billion dollars from taxpayers. You see very few conservative organizations that get government money. I mean, look, Washington Watch is supported strictly by individuals who want to be a part of putting out news that's from a Christian perspective. I'm not hiding what perspective we come from. We come from a Christian perspective. The American Family Radio, if you're listening on an AFR station, they don't get any government money. You're listening on a bot station, they don't get any money. Any of the stations you're listening on do not get federal money, government money. It's all privately funded. So why should the left have the advantage of having government funding for messages that clearly are counter to what we believe? Look, they can, again, do not have an issue with them having an opportunity to have that message out there. They should do it on their own dime, not on our dime. Sound fair? Anyway, is it time for Congress to pull the plug on the public PBS? 866-372-7234, number to call. By the way, tomorrow, Senator James Lankford will be on the program. And in fact, he was in today's hearing and with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and he'll be on the program tomorrow. We'll be talking about the hearing and what came of it, what did not come of it, and where we go next. By the way, I think I gave you the wrong number for the Capitol switchboard number, 202-224. I think I said 225. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. If you'd like to give Senator Roy Blunt's office a call and let him know, look, we shouldn't be funding these things. And it's been the Republican Congress that's been funding these things. All right. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Georgia, where Sadie is on the line. Sadie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I'm far against all that putting money out for this. This is not right for our tax dollars to go. We're so much in debt now, it's unreal, and I'm against this.
Well, that's reason enough alone, that we don't have the money. Why should we be spending it on things that we don't need? I mean, people say, well, it's a few million dollars here, a few million dollars there. Well, before long, you're actually talking about real money. $86 million over the last 5 years. And when you consider our nation's military, and I think we talked about this recently, where the Marine Corps aviators, they're having to pull parts off of planes that are in museums in order to keep the planes flying. And they've I forget the percentage of the Air Force's, of their planes that are grounded because they can't fly. They're not safe. But yet we have money to spend on a propaganda piece about transgenderism. Folks, our priorities are mixed up. And now, there's no excuses. The Republicans have the House, they have the Senate. Now, I know, they don't have 60 votes in the Senate. But some things are worth fighting for. You've got the White House and the President, to his credit. His team put forth a very conservative budget. In fact, I didn't mention this, but we had Terry on. I had Terry on the program right after the White House released their budget. He went through, analyzed it, and had great things to say about the Trump administration's budget. Congress should embrace it and run with it. That's not what they're doing, but they should. Sadie, thanks so much for the call. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Fred is on the line. Fred, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I think we do need to definitely pull the plug on funding for PBS, and while we're at it, NPR or maybe that sort of thing is lumped in with it.
Yes, it's all the president has zeroed them all out in his budget. I mean, look, I don't even know. I used to listen to NPR, but they have the Obama administration. Everything went so hard to the left, and especially PBS and NPR, that you can't even listen to the stuff. But again, it's like MSNBC. MSNBC has every right to be out there. I don't watch it. I can't imagine watching it. I mean, it would be like being punished to watch MSNBC, but they have every right to exist. I have no problem with them being out there, but they're not being funded by the government. I'll be funded with my tax dollars. Fred, thanks for calling. Again, folks, good place to start. Roy Blunt's a good friend of mine. Maybe I'll get him on. We'll talk about this. 202-224-3121. Give his office a call and say, hey, time to stop funding this propaganda from PBS. I mean, considering that, look, as of today, today is the 13th of June, our debt is $19.9 trillion. So can we really afford to be doing this kind of stuff? I say not. Let's go to Tennessee, where Pam is on the line. Pam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Yes, I agree with you. Pull the plug. Not long ago, I was driving around North Nashville and saw the office that NPR has. That's expensive real estate. I want the whole thing shut down, in my opinion.
And I would venture to say, Pam, that they probably had state-of-the-art equipment inside that big building as well.
I would venture to say the same.
Funded.
At our expense. Yes. I mean,
mean, yeah, yeah, right. At our expense, right, correct.
We work hard every day, and if people will pay attention to how much money is coming out of their check and going into the Washington, D.C. to fund this sort of thing, should look at what's coming out of your check to pay for this stuff.
Good point. Good point. Pam, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. And you know, again, I know I don't want to be picking on Roy. Roy's a good guy. He's got a lot of things on his plate. In fact, he was in the hearing today and had some good questions, bringing out some information with the Attorney General. But look, the Congress, the Republicans in Congress can be very clear and just embrace the president's budget. The president, it's the first time this has happened. You've got a president that has put forth a budget that eliminates all this nonsense. All Congress has to do is say, the president's leading, we're going to follow him. And we'll support his budget. That's all they got to do. Let's go to Arkansas, where Chris is on the line. Chris, welcome to Washington Watch. Chris, you there?
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead.
Hello, this is I'm actually from Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I think they have to definitely stop that the funding for CBS. I mean, that's, I don't want to pay for that transgender stuff. Man, that's ridiculous. These people need help. They don't need, they don't need money for that.
Well, and that's a good point, Chris. Because what's being put forth here, based upon the previews of this and the analysis of it, is that it is it's a propaganda piece, and it is portraying this in a favorable light. And I'm not saying it should be, put forth in an unfavorable light. It should be put forth in a truthful way. And the reality is, when you look at the evidence, I had Peter Sprigg on last week talking about this, the physical aspects of this, the emotional, mental, and of course, when you roll in the spiritual side of this, this is not, it's not good. It's not healthy. And they're leading a lot of young people down a very destructive path with this information. In fact, American College of Pediatricians, I think I got that one right. There's two of them out there. This one said this is basically tantamount to child abuse, to lead children, younger children and those teens through this process because you can't reverse it. Start giving these hormones, and this is, you have high rates of depression, suicide, and so they're going to make this look glamorous and promote it and encourage it. It's dangerous, and it shouldn't be done with our tax dollars. Chris, you're right. Thanks so much for calling. All right, folks, almost out of time here, so I'm not going to be able to go to the rest of the calls, but I want to thank you all for calling in today and for listening. But let me give you that switchboard number again one more time to the U.S. switchboard so you can reach the Senate, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. And you can call Senator Blunt and tell him, hey, look, stop funding this stuff. And talk to your senators and your congressmen and say, hey, pass the president's budget. It eliminates all this foolishness. All right, folks. Sorry we're out of time, but we'll be back again tomorrow, Lord willing. I hope you will as well. Senator James Lankford is with us tomorrow. We're going to talk more about today's hearings with the Attorney General and more here on Washington Watch. Until then, I encourage you to read the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.